What's going on, guys? It's Zach. Today's podcast is sponsored by 21 Studios, the company that's bringing you the 21 Convention, the 21 Convention Patriarchs Edition, and the 22 Convention Make Women Great Again. The links below the episode will bring you to the homepage where you can get your tickets. As you'll see, you've got speakers such as myself, Tanner Guzzi, Elliot Hulse, George Bruno, and many more. They'll be talking to you on and off stage, mixing it up from October 1st through October 4th. And it's bring a friend free. So when you buy one, you get a ticket. You can bring a friend, and if you upgrade to the VIP package, you can attend the main convention as well as that of Patriarchs, or you can bring a friend, just go to one or the other, or you can bring your spouse, have her go to 22 Con while you go to 21 Con. You can make it work in your favor however you see fit. But this fall, we're going live, so grab your ticket now before prices go up. Now let's dive into another episode on the Family Alpha Podcast.
Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here is your host, Zach Small, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Today, I'm joined by Jeff Putnam, a man inside the Fraternity of Excellence, a father of nine, the bearded guru himself, founder of ruggedlegacygrooming.com. I use his products exclusively on this beard, which it took a hit during the quarantine trimmings, but it's coming back strong. All Rugged Legacy products. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
When I first left my 9-to-5, you hosted a podcast and I was the guest. And now, in your first full day as an entrepreneur, I have the honor of having you on my podcast. I want to talk about, you know, what that's like. I want to talk about, you know, being a father and making your family a part of this mission that you're leading. And I also want to talk about how you have the guts, you know, to chase this dream. And instead of shutting down and living in fear, you've grown. You're going at it harder. We'll get into all that in this episode. But first, for those who don't know, you know, if they haven't followed the Family Alpha podcast, they don't know who you are. Could you give a little background for who is Jeff Putnam? You know, what were the beginning chapters and how did you get to this point in your life?
Oh, shit. I don't know where to start. Married, father of nine. Yes, all nine are with the same woman. I've got eight boys, one girl. For a long time, struggled financially. Spent a few years homeless, having to grind my ass off to get out of that. About five years ago, the homelessness ended. 6 years ago, homelessness ended. And then got real comfortable, you know, working at a 9-to-5. It was steady. It was stable. Had a roof, had food. And I started stagnating a little further. My marriage started falling apart. My wife and I were constantly fighting. It was nothing, you know, nothing short of every excuse to file for divorce and just say, fuck it all. And this is the greatest term ever. One day I got the case of the fuck it's.
I will never not laugh or smile when I hear that. I love that phrase.
Yeah. I got a case of the fuck it's. And I said, you know what? I think I'm going to try to start my own company. And so I did. I filed every piece of paperwork I would possibly need to get started. To back up, the idea to start a men's grooming supply company was, you know, I've always had a beard. I've always had medium to long hair, but I can't go to Walmart or Target or any of these other places to find something that doesn't smell like it belongs like a teenage boy on prom night or a woman. So I got on Google for the longest time and I was like making my own little mini batches in the kitchen because there's a wholesaler here in town where you could buy supplies. And I was doing that and I started getting people, you know, hey, it smells really good. What are you wearing? You know, I was like, oh, just some shit I made. And it dawned on me when someone said, hey, you should sell it. So then, you know, we'll fast forward again back to I'd filed all the paperwork, hired a buddy of mine I went to high school with who has his own graphic design agency, like a digital nomad living in Berlin, doing whatever the hell he wants, whenever he wants. And started working with him on building the brand, got the brand built in 2 months. I launched pre-orders March of 2019 because the idea came in December of 2018. I launched pre-orders on March 2019. At the end of March 2019, I went live and I started off with just 12 products. I had like three pomades, three beard balms, 3 solid colognes, 3 mustache waxes. And it just exploded. Everybody wanted it. I sold out of all my pre-orders in the first week. And then it's grown to the point now where I've got over 40 products. I'm getting ready to start releasing. The plan is do like 3 in advance and have them kind of like in the queue and start releasing a new themed scent every month of one of the products. But that exploded all through January, from January 2019 to today, 16 months later in 2020. And it's just been a hell of a roller coaster ride.
From an outside looking in, you know, it's been amazing to see the growth that's taken place. And I want to go back for a second. You know, you said you were dealing with homelessness at one point. How do you find the will to just bootstrap your way out of that? You know, where does that come from? Have you always had that? You know, like, I really want people to listen to the story and recognize that this is something that anybody can do if they so choose to. But why did you choose to? How did that come about?
The homelessness came about when I was working for a general contractor in San Antonio. And I spent all but 4 days a month on the road. And so I started putting major stressors on my wife and my marriage. And it wasn't fair to her for me to always be gone. And so I left that job because there was plenty of places around town. But unfortunately, all those places around town weren't hiring. And I made the rookie mistake of quitting before I had something else. And the only thing I could find was minimum wage jobs and grocery store work, shit like that. And so our like lifestyle started declining a little bit. You know, we cut off the cable, then we cut off the extra phone line, and we had to lose the cell phones. Little by little, the luxuries went away, and then we started playing whack-a-mole with the bills. You know, which bill can we pay this month and not die? We did that, and then there goes the car. But I live close enough to my job, I could walk. I did that. But then we still getting further and further behind, like a slow, steady decline. And we ended up losing the house. So took the paycheck and moved into a hotel room, like a motel, like a motor lodge motel.
Did you have all 9 kids during this time?
Didn't have all 9. My wife was pregnant with number 8. I was there for 2 years. During that time, I lost my grocery store job because it was too far to get to on time, and city buses didn't come to that part of town. So I found this work today, get paid today place. And it's one of those where you show up and it's first come, first serve. You show up after you've already registered with them and did all that. And they basically just get calls all day from construction sites or other businesses that might need a day's worth of help for whatever they've got going on. And so I did that kind of on and off at all these different places. Like one was for like overhead garage door, a couple of random apartment complexes that were being built. And then one of them happened to be a long-term construction site. It was like big. And it lasted over 2 years. And my job was to take the demoed concrete and beat it up into smaller chunks with a sledgehammer, because they would come by with a bobcat and throw it into a hopper so they could recycle it into gravel. And I did that for 2 years, and I was making minimum wage. Walking to and from work, take home pay after taxes was like $56. So I'd have to walk back to the hotel, grab a backpack, and then walk to the grocery store, then walk back. It was rough.
Now, you worked your way out of this. How do you go from losing that, recovering it, you know, you have steady employment, and then taking a risk on yourself with a business? Like, would that not, was that fear still there? You're like, shit, what if this happens again?
Yeah, the fear was there. That's why I didn't do shit for the first, you know, 5 years of getting stable again. You know, I had the house, I had the job, and it was a decent paying job, and shit, I didn't want to risk anything. So I just got really comfortable and started, this is my life now. I'm going to work in this plant for 40 fucking years and then get a gold watch and die. you know, and I was okay with that because they just meant my family would never have to live in a hotel again. And I would never have to put all of my belongings in one shoe before I went to sleep at night, you know, wallet and watch and all this other, just so I would have a place to put it where it wouldn't get lost. And so I didn't do shit. I mean, I got really stagnant. It wasn't until, again, I just said, I guess I got tired of being comfortable and stagnant and seeing other people doing better than me and said, fuck it, I'm going to do it too.
You know, I think a lot of men find themselves at that spot. You know, they're on the cusp of that. So you started making your own batches of grooming. You decided that's the path you were going to go. You launched Rugged Legacy. You built this empire that you've created, you know, through social media. You've been growing that. Your website, I've seen that thing growing. Your email list, you know, that's exploding. Where is the fuel to keep going, though? What's making you chase even further?
I think it was because I'd made it through other hard shit and didn't die. Now I have this, it's almost a fault, I think. It's now I have this, nothing can fucking touch me, which is definitely not true. You know, I've hit some, you know, stumbling blocks over the past year that could have taken me down had it not been for some good people having my back. But I don't know. It's getting out of that and then being able to build one thing and have it work and how good that felt. It's like the fuel to want to feel that again. You know, every time I wake up in the morning, it's still just as exciting to look and see notifications that I made a shit ton of money while I was asleep. It's not doing shit. You know, I'm banging my wife and I was getting paid for it. You know, I mean, she doesn't pay me. Somebody has to. But it's still just as exciting every morning when I see that. And just wanting to chase that feeling again.
Now, how has the family played into this? Have they been supportive? You know, I'm trying to imagine your wife seeing you. I mean, I know you might have stagnated for a few years, but seeing you say, hey, I'm going to take all this money and dump it into this, maybe this will work. I believe it'll work, but who knows? How were you able to keep them just as motivated, or were they just as motivated?
I don't think my wife was motivated at all. My wife probably didn't believe in me at all, but didn't want to say it to my face, you know? But when I dumped every last dime into, I think it was like $5,000. It was everything we had. After I spent this $5,000 and some change, the only thing we were going to have was my paychecks. We didn't have shit else saved up, but I dumped it all in and she almost threw up as soon as I hit pay now on the invoice. And, she just pretty much stayed quiet about it until she saw that people were buying what I was making. And then she got excited, but wanted to get involved. And, you know, she helped me pack orders when I was doing all the shipping myself. And I was thinking about it the other day. You know, today is my first 24-hour period of being a full-time entrepreneur and self-employed. But day before yesterday, I got the notice because I'd been at the same 9-to-5 for 6 years, over 6 years. And I got the notice that I was probably going to be laid off the very next day. Zero warning, jack shit. And I came home from work because they sent us home right before lunch. And I came home, my wife goes, I got your lunch on the table. Okay, well, I'm here for the rest of the day. He goes, why? I said, I'm probably getting laid off tomorrow. And her reply was, oh, okay, why? I told her, and she goes, oh, all right, well, eat your lunch. But she didn't give a shit because I'd been consistently delivering on everything I said I was going to do. And I built up that confidence through, you know, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning because I had an idea. And then being awake until 1 o'clock the next morning to go to sleep and wake up at 5 to go to work at 9-to-5 and do it all again. You know, I just did it because if I didn't do it, it was never going to happen. But seeing that difference between when I first started Rugged Legacy and she was so freaking scared and so nervous about me starting to me telling her, oh, by the way, I'm losing the only guaranteed stable source of income tomorrow. And she was like, okay. Yeah, it's a big difference.
I think it's a testament to the role that, you know, a man plays in his family. You know, we talk a lot about people following your example, not your advice. You know, you can tell people all day, hey, it's going to be okay. We're going to be all right. But for them to watch your actions and then for them to know it's going to be, you don't have to say anything. They know your actions. You've shown them, like you said, consistently, you're going to show up. And I think a lot of men find themselves where I'm going to start working out. And then a week later they quit. I'm going to start this new diet. You know, 2 days later, they're ordering three pizzas. You know, they've failed so many times in their word and through their actions that when they tell their family, hey, I'm going to start a business. Oh, okay. I'm sure you are. Or, hey, we're going to be all right. And they're terrified because of the actions have not matched the words. So you say you're going to be all right. Those words sound good, but your actions have not shown that you're going to be all right or that you're going to follow through on this. And to your point, you know, I recently shared when I left my 9-to-5, I threw both kids and my wife in my back and I jumped, you know, and I was all in on me. And I knew I was going to make it. I had irrational confidence I was going to make it. And again, my wife, you know, my kids are like, yeah, okay, let's do this. A lot of men, you know, they're like, well, the timing isn't right or this isn't right. You were laid off and right now your wife and 9 kids are on your back. And even the older ones that aren't with you are still, you're carrying the name. You've got to set the example. All that's on you. So how do you, you know, not succumb to the, you know, oh, it's creeping in. Are we going to be okay? Like, is it a fuel? I mean, when they told you you're done, did it feel like freedom? Because at some point, I would assume your goal was to make this full time, you know, your endeavor, what you did. So was it like they made the choice for you and you're like, all right, good. Or were you like, oh, I'm not ready yet. And then you're looking around like, hey, I hope it works.
Yeah, I think it's more they made the choice for me. I've got this thing where I argue with myself when I want to quit anything. And so I was going to have to either work there forever, get laid off, or go in there intentionally and slap my boss in the mouth so he would fire me, because I just can't quit anymore because I quit before. And in doing that, I let my family down. And when you've got little kids and you're all in the hotel room and your kid asks you, Daddy, can we have our toys back? I promise we'll be good. And the only reason you don't have those fucking toys is because there's nowhere to put them and you couldn't take them with you. Yeah. That shit eats at your soul. And so now it's like never again, you know?
It's amazing the source of fuel that can come from kids.
Oh yeah.
Just their existence. It's infinite. You know, it just, that barrel never reaches the bottom. I mean, when I see my kids, there's nothing I won't or can't do. There's no job I will not do if I've got to take care of my family. And I know you're the same. But now I have to wonder, you know, do you, in today's day and age, do you believe that there is loyalty between companies and their employees?
I don't think there ever has been.
You don't? See, I'm thinking back to, like, I thought, let's say the 50s, there was this notion, you work your 25 years, like you said, you get the gold watch, you get your pension. I've been harping on this horn that that's not the case, and that men, your loyalty is to yourself and your family, not your business. I mean, they let you go without warning. Hey, in 24 hours, you're done. You know, you get what you have up to this point, but we're not paying you anymore. That's not loyalty. And you're seeing a lot, especially with Corona, man. Like, what do you think that, or how do you think we can get men to start waking up to the fact that these companies do not care about you?
At the end of the day, the only thing a company is going to give a shit about, and I see this as an entrepreneur running my own company, I'm not going to hire someone that's not going to make me more money than what I have to pay them. And it's not me being cold hearted, it's me being a realist. If I want my business to keep running and me to continue to have a business, I can't hire someone that's going to be a money sink. You know, I can't hire someone that I'm going to have to carry because I have other shit I have to do. So that's why I don't think there's ever been, there may be companies that have their employees that are loyal to the company. But I don't think there's ever been a company that's been loyal to the employees outside of how much money can you make us. Because if you're not an asset, you're a liability, no matter where you are, whether you're in a marriage, you're a parent. If you're not an asset, you're a liability. If you're a shitty dad, you're a liability to your kids. If you're a shitty husband, you're a liability to your wife. If you're a shitty employee, you're a liability to the company. You know, and as far as a shitty employee goes, how much value are you bringing and are you replaceable?
I like that. And I agree. And I think a lot of men hear that, but they're still drinking that Kool-Aid, man. They're still thinking, no, you know, it's not going to happen to me. Or whenever we say, hey, you maybe diversify your income streams, you know, whether through a side hustle, you know, maybe you do woodworking, you know, maybe you have online things that you do. For you, it was grooming products. You know, it's the more streams you have coming in, the less reliant you are on any specific one. So if somebody shuts one down, well, you have income. Even if that income is smaller, it somewhat alleviates the paranoia, like, oh, crap, you know, shit's hitting the fan, you know, and you start panicking. If you diversify what's coming in, and I kind of wanted to talk to you about this, you know, ways that you didn't just do grooming, you know, you've had podcasts, you have several affiliations that you've made through partnerships and working with others. You know, there are many different things you're doing. How did you find, I mean, I don't know about you. I was never really a social media guy. I thought selfies were ridiculous. I don't need to be on, you don't need to know my name. And now I'm Zach Small with an Instagram, like a selfie whore. And you know, I'm all over the place talking about what I'm doing. Were you always a social person, or how did you get over that and just start, I guess, making it a part of the brand of you?
I had a Facebook page for like 10 years. And I think my top friend count was like 48.
I'm surprised you had any.
Yeah. But these were all people that I was either, you know, I graduated high school with them, or I was related to them. That was it. I have an Instagram, I have a Twitter, I have a Parler. I still don't get on Instagram nearly as much. Why should I take a fucking picture of that? That's just my thing. But it's something I'm going to have to eventually get over if I want to expand that. But the only thing that got me on Twitter was my wife started a blog. She's a stay-at-home mom blog, and she was doing like some crafting tips and some DIY tips and some recipes and like mom hack kind of stuff. And I was like, well, you want to get readers, you have to put it on social media. As far as I know, Twitter seems to be the one that even on Facebook, you see people screenshotted tweets and had shared them on Facebook. So I was like, Twitter seems to be the place to go. So I got her on that, and she was on Twitter before I was. You know, I got her on that and started building up her following. Her blog got pretty popular. She's won a couple of blogging awards and all that. And so when I started Rugged Legacy, I took the same route, and then I just started fucking tweeting against the wall until I found, you know, something that stuck, and then stuck with whatever was sticking.
I think that's how we cross paths.
It is how we cross paths. I was just randomly following people because I knew Ryan Mickler, the founder of the Order of Man and the Iron Council. I knew him for maybe 4 years. I think I joined the Order of Man, the Facebook group, maybe 6 months after he started it. And I was always a part of it. And I talked to Ryan plenty of times. And so I was following him. And I think you popped up as a suggested follow when I followed him. And then I started following you. I saw your tweet about, hey, my DMs are open. If you ever need anything, hit me up. I was like, well, this classifies under anything. I was in the middle of getting my logo.
I remember that.
Yeah. I was in the middle of getting my logo and shit done. I'd gotten like, I think eight different mock-up samples of possible logos. And I was like, hey, you don't know me, but I'm starting this company and you said anything. So which one could you see more on this type of company? And that's how you and I connected.
I'm glad you brought that up, because, and I'm also glad I wasn't a dick. You know, sometimes if you're just a bad mood, the DM comes in, I'm like, I don't care. Like, do whatever you want. So I'm glad that worked out. This is a good one. But when I put that, you know, this goes to prove the point that social media can be used to improve your real world life. You know, some people, like, they just lose so much time and it just causes stress and nothing positive comes from it. Yet here you are, you and I, years later, you know, company is growing, we're growing, you know, in FOE, we've got all these meetups going on. You and I haven't met yet. We were supposed to. Thanks, Corona. So it's amazing the wonders that Twitter can do if you use it properly.
Yeah. All of the friends that I have that are worth a shit are the ones that I met on Twitter. Because it's hard when you're, you know, in the real world, being geographically located near someone else with the same kind of fire to grow and improve and all this other, it's pretty rare. I mean, obviously they're out there, but as far as ideas and views and values and everything lining up, I mean, you got a better chance of driving a needle up a nun's ass with a sledgehammer. Like, you know,
like, where does this shit come from?
Like, oh my God. From the South. We come up with this shit all the time. But, you know, when I started meeting people on Twitter who were like-minded and building their own companies and their own LLCs and their own personal brands, and it was basically, you know, because Ryan Mickler was the first person that I ever met who was like an online personality, so to speak, you know. And I found out there was like so many more fucking people just like him. And I started introducing myself and connecting with him. And next thing you know, I've got a network now. I think I said it the other day. I told my son, I said, I can get stranded in fucking Pakistan. I know a guy.
That's a real thing.
Yeah. That's a real fucking thing. You know the same guy.
Yep.
Yeah. You get stranded in fucking Pakistan. As long as I got cell phone signal, I can get this motherfucker to come pick me up. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, we've removed proximity as, you know, a qualifier. You no longer have to be local to me for us to get along or to meet. You know, technology has bridged that gap to where proximity is no longer how you're defined or your group is defined. Now, for some people, it certainly is. They will play down to whatever that denominator is. Oh, you like this? Well, now I like this. Whereas, you know, you find more meaning when you go out there and you're just you. Like, I like this and here's what I do and here's what I stand for. If you don't like it, don't follow me. If you do, come on board. Let's hang out. Let's talk, you know, and then it'll grow from there. And I think people, they're afraid to stand out from the crowd. They're afraid to be the person saying, oh, I don't want to just sit down and watch football and eat some fucking chips while we drink some beer. Like, I want to do more than that in my life. And they're not, if you say anything against it, well, now you're the prude or you're too good for them or anything like that. And it's like, no, you have and you like what you want. So go do what you want and don't be afraid to, I guess, hold up a mirror to others for not doing anything.
Yeah. I mean, shit, hell. And the caveat to that is even if you don't like what I like and you still want to follow me and you can, you know, be civil or just understand that we don't have to fucking agree on everything, keep on following. We'll probably still become friends.
I love the people that follow just to hate. They follow you just everything you say, they've got the counterpoint. I'm like, you follow me just to like counter my shit.
Yeah, I've got a lot of weirdos that do that. But I like to have fun with them until I get bored if I have some spare time. You know, there's one prick yesterday called me a eunuch. So I sent him a picture of myself and seven of my kids.
Like, you'd not be the one who would say that. You've never had sex in your life. Yeah. I have proof. I have proof, man. Almost double digit like, proof.
You know, I had blocked out the kids' faces and I was like, yeah, wrong again. You know, and I just had fun with him. And he tried to make a comment about my dick. He said, don't try to defend your tiny dick. I said, I'll defend you anytime I want. You're my favorite. I'll never let Uncle Bill touch you like that again. Yeah. I just have fun with it. Fuck them.
Normal conversations.
Yeah. Fuck them. I don't care.
So I wanted to bring this back to the business for a second. What if you had somebody that was asking you, you know, they're about to start out and maybe not grooming, but maybe they're launching something else, a type of bag, some new shoes or something, you know, they're woodworking. What would the one piece of advice be to help get them to steer clear of any mistakes you might have made?
I don't know about steering clear of any mistakes because every mistake I made taught me something. You know, I would definitely say just fucking do it. You know, from a business standpoint, all you need is an idea or a product or a piece of information, you know, how to or whatever, a place to put it, a fucking website or a building, and then scream at the top of your lungs in every medium possible to get people to come and look at it. People will come and look at it. Some will buy it, some won't, and just keep doing that.
I dig it. So I've got links to your email list. I've got links to the website, all that below. And you're running a sale. I mean, it's July 2nd of 2020. Let's talk about 1776. What does 4th of July mean to you? And what is that sale?
Well, I've always been a bit of a rebel. And I think there's not even a bit of a rebel. I rebel against shit, even if it's in my favor, for the sake of rebelling sometimes. And you're like, oh yeah, that's good for me. Well, fuck you. I don't want it. Yeah, you know, I do that kind of shit, and I've gotten better about that because that's gotten me in some holes. But I don't think there's anything more badass than telling a king to go fuck himself. And so telling a king to go fuck himself, and that holiday being commemorated when these guys were gathered in the dark on July 3rd, signing shit in secret, you know, John Hancock said, if we're going to tell a king to fuck off, and better do it with a big brass set of balls and make her name big enough for him to read it. You know, he's got the biggest signature on there. I'm like, fuck yeah. You know, these guys were not, they were not old. I mean, they were in their 20s and they all said, fuck that guy. That's badass. And so to me, you know, a lot of people say that America doesn't have a culture, but I think America's culture is fuck you.
I hope people understand now why I like you so much.
I think America's culture is fuck you, make me, because that's the spirit of everybody that's ever came here. You know, somebody said, you're going to do this. So they hopped on a fucking boat, went to, and said, fuck you, make me. They hopped on a boat and they went to Ellis Island. They came out the other side and said, see, you can't fucking make me, fuck you. And then there were the people who were here before who said, oh, you want me to pay extra for tea? Fuck you, make me. You know, and it's just, I don't know, something about that just speaks to me on a like a primal level. It's like, yeah. And I think it's kind of like why a lot of guys always pull for the underdog, the guy who doesn't stand a fucking chance, but he comes out on the top just because he was his big brass balls that he was lugging around in a wheelbarrow. I just, that's what 4th of July is to me. It's the ultimate fuck you to everybody that says do this or else.
I mean, I got the Declaration of Independence right there, or I guess right there, George right there, and red, white, and blue right there.
I've got it on my wall in the hallway next to the schematics for a Browning 50 cal.
God bless America. So with that, you know, when they signed their name, it really was a death warrant. They were willing to go all in, and to see you, you know, you're all in. Like this, you're on your death ride, you know, like this is going to work, you know, there's no choice for it not to. It's an amazing thing to see, you know, and it's something that I don't think enough men experience, what it's like to have the safety net removed. And now you eat what you kill. Feast or famine, it's on you. If you kill the thing, you get to eat. If not, you keep hunting, keep putting something out there. Now you were talking about, you know, the extra price on stamps and tea that the colonists faced. You're trying to save us some money. So talk to me about 1776 and Rugged Legacy Grooming.
Yeah, right now, if you go to ruggedlegacygrooming.com, you can fill up your cart with as much shit as you want. Yeah, use the promo code 1776, digits, not letters, and you get 25% off your cart. And if your order is still over $30, I believe it still works for free shipping.
Boom. There you go. Get there. Support the man, the new entrepreneur, all in. Jeff, thank you for coming on the show. Yeah. Where can people find you if they're looking to follow the good word and your very illustrative terms and phrases? Illustrious. That's the word I was looking for.
Illustrious. All right. You can find me on Twitter at @rugged_legacy. On Instagram, as I said before, I'm not on there very much. It's at Rugged Legacy Grooming. On Parler, at Rugged Legacy. I do have a company Facebook. My official company Twitter page, which I haven't done a whole lot with because I don't have time to run all these different accounts, is at @RuggedLegacy_. And that's the official Rugged Legacy page, which I should probably do more of that now. But I haven't yet. But those are the places you can find me. Also, I'm the host of the Rugged Legacy podcast. You can go to anchor.fm/Rugged Legacy, or you can go on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, any podcast platform out there. I'm on there. Had some really awesome guests. One, you know, like yourself, Ed Lattimore, AJ Cortez, Jack Donovan, Mark Lobliner was just on. I'm going to be releasing the episode with him either today or tomorrow. Andrew Tate, for those of you who know who he is. I've got former Navy SEAL Clint Emerson. He wrote the book 100 Deadly Skills. He's coming on. A friend of yours and ours, also retired SEAL, Rich Graham, trying to get him on. Looking to get Bert Soren, maybe Jocko. That'd be cool to get him on. But I've got, some, you know, there's some cool sponsors for the Rugged Legacy podcast. I'll plug them here. The Smith Homestead. It's smith-homestead.com. Farm-grown, everything kind of handmade products that you could possibly want.
Unlimited. His candles are wonderful. They are fantastic. The coffee one is, oh, man.
Yeah, he sent me one called Mississippi and another one called Pipe Smoke. And those things are fucking great. But Unlimited Life Concepts, good friend and financial guru, Nathan Dean, taught me how to make my money pay me to spend it. And it's legit. It's it's nothing like freaking MLM or pyramid scheme or any of that. It's just, it's a way to slowly build generational wealth that you don't ever have to fucking worry about being taxed. I've also got Conquer Watches, at Conquer, conquerwatch.co. Really badass watches for like active guys. And I think this is the coolest one, gohuntamerica.com. It's basically the Airbnb for outdoorsmen. So if you're just looking to get a spot to camp, fish, hunt, you can go on there and pick a spot and treat it just like Airbnb. And those are all sponsors of the Rugged Legacy podcast.
I feel like I need to get a sponsor now. I'm going to get Rugged Legacy Grooming. Hey, Jeff, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. I'm really excited to see where you go with this. You know, we'll have to do another one for our 50 days of entrepreneur or something like that. Maybe 100 days, come back on and talk about where you're at, you know, compared to where you are right now.
I'm down.
Excellent. All right.
Stop talking while I was drinking coffee.
That's all good. I timed it wrong. That's a sweet mug, though. That thing, like, you're drinking from the skull. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Zach Hummel sent it to me because he has one, and I thought it was cool.
So it's awesome. Yeah,
I sent you one.
That's how it works. He's using social media to connect.
Yeah, man.
All right, Jeff. Thanks again. For everybody who tuned in, make sure you're following Jeff. All the links are below. And like I said, if you think this conversation was good, you got to check some of his podcasts because he's a great host. You know, the guests he's had, the topics they've covered, it's just amazing stuff. So check it out after this. Take care.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Zach on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @ZachSmall_.